Hello, this is Ryan Cotter, the news resident here at KCAW, and joining me right now is a wonderful reporter from KYUK in Bethel and my very good friend, Samantha Watson. Samantha, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's so good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. And so let's talk a little bit more as to how did your journey into journalism begin? This can be journalism just in general or like public media, radio specifically, however you kind of want to approach this question.
Yeah, totally. I think I'm one of those people that entered journalism through like the back door of really liking creative writing and being like an Englishy person and someone who loves stories. And journalism, I was kind of like pushing against it for a while. I was like, I thought that was kind of the only career you could have where you could write. And I was like, I thought it, like, I don't know. I just was like, ah, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to like find another way. And I ended up trying it with an internship and realized that there's this whole other piece, like beyond getting to write, you get to speak to people you wouldn't otherwise have spoken to, or speak to people about things you wouldn't have otherwise have spoken to them about. And as a curious person and a writer, those two things just met and kind of like exploded and just brought so much meaning. So I just kind of had a path of doing some internships through college. I wrote for some teeny tiny Vermont newspapers. I became the editor of one. But I really loved audio. And as anyone who listens to KCAW knows, like, there's just so much you can tell through audio. It's conversational. It's people voice forward. It's people telling their stories in their own terms, with, you know, your help as a facilitator. So there is a great deal of trust involved still in that kind of journalism, but it just feels like there's a bit more humanity. There's a bit more authenticity and life happening when you listen to a news story. So I love that. And I continued through college and I ended up going to the Salt Institute of Documentary Studies in Maine to get a certificate in radio and kind of learn things more from a docu focus, which I think I bring into my work now. And I always kind of knew that Alaska was this place that relied on radio and public media in a way that maybe nowhere else in the world does. People really listen to the radio in Alaska. And aside from that, I kind of had this, there's this notion that the stories there have huge beating hearts. So I had always had Alaska on the radar, but applied kind of over the years and landed. I'm now in my first full-time audio reporting job as a news reporter at KYUK in Bethel on the YK Delta. And I've been here about a year, and I have to say that is true, that the stories out here have huge beating hearts, and the people I've gotten to meet and the stories I've gotten to help tell have been ones that I've just felt I felt lucky pretty much every day here, which is not lost on me how special that is.
Yeah, absolutely. And even before I came to Alaska as well, I think definitely that, like, especially growing up in the lower 48, you take advantage of having reliable internet for granted. It's like, I don't really engage with the radio very often. Like, growing up, I was always raised to believe it's very outdated medium, but especially being in Alaska where you don't always have reliable internet access. I mean, you know, with us, Bethel and the remote 56 villages surrounding the area, not all of them have reliable internet access. So many communities in Alaska really rely on the radio. And even in Sitka too, like when we have like power outages for whatever reason, which has happened before, be it landslides or otherwise, or just people are out at sea, like we really do need the radio for like safety and connection and keeping everyone informed in so many ways. So, and that was like a key advice that I got early in my career too, is like go to rural locations because you'll truly do some of the most meaningful work there in a short amount of time. So definitely agree with that.
It's also like, I think in Alaska, a lot of the time there aren't competing news sources. Like I think a lot of the US and a lot of the more, like road system, you know, plays into that as well. Like there's many, like multiple different news sources covering the same area. And like, I know in Sitka, there's the Sentinel, like that, you know, which is super awesome. Like, but out here, like we're kind of the only real news source that covers kind of the things we do and investigates things. And that's true for like a lot of the state and also like KCOB and the Sentinel. I know that there's like also people cover different bases or fit into each other in a really great way. So there's like this sense like if you aren't doing the work, almost nobody else is. And there's a lot of meaning in that. Like, and public media is kind of the only media for a lot of Alaska.
Yeah, being in Alaska definitely gave me a much greater appreciation of radio, and I think with in the face of the recent budget cuts and rescission cuts, I think people all across the country are starting to really be reminded, like, yeah, we really do need these resources, whether you are like in more urban areas in the lower 48 or even in our the rural communities that we cover too. And even like working with like the Sentinel and other folks, it never feels like competitive, even though we're covering similar stories. It always felt super collaborative. Working with different
Yeah.
Alaska reporters, be it radio or in the newspaper and so forth. And that's just been a really great environment to work with, like seeing people as collaborators rather than competition. And that's the benefit of being not for profit as well.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, for those who are unfamiliar, like in your experience, what do you feel makes reporting in the YK Delta unique?
Yeah. I think well, I guess I'm this is as someone who's coming from outside of Alaska. I'm curious your perspective also now having like Sitka and the YK Delta, but I think one thing that kind of stood out to me is I quickly realized I felt like I think the thing I would say when I was like calling home was like every story is a climate story here. People and life is really on the forefront of climate change, and Indigenous folks on the forefront of climate change, which is, you know, how it is in so many other places across the country too, across the world. But just really seeing that firsthand, I think you also see firsthand the way that parts of the US are kind of left behind in policy and just in so many different ways that these rural pockets are just not considered. And I think that also gives a lot more meaning to the work, which was kind of this silver lining that was unexpected to encountering those things that feel pretty heavy, is that it gives importance to telling those stories. But also in Western Alaska, the community stories are just like, man, they're just like they're so shiny. Like it's just the way people come together, the way people make art, the way people are able to talk about coming together and making art, is just like I don't know. And I don't know if it's because it has to do with like living somewhere that's kind of disconnected or living in a place that is maybe a little harsh or under-resourced at times. It's just like kind of gives those stories more meaning, but also just like I feel like the conversations I've had have taken me to so many more dynamic places than ones I've maybe had outside of here. But yeah, those are kind of the bigger like themes of what's made it different. I think also getting around, like when I interned at Vermont Public, the radio station in Vermont, like you could drive anywhere across the state. I think like the tagline that they have or their slogan is like stories from every corner. And it felt like even though you're based in one office, you could drive anywhere to get a story. And here, transportation is super difficult. You can't just like drive to get any story. It depends on the time of year. So as a result, though, I've gotten to take bush planes for stories and boats and snow machines and four wheelers. And that has been incredible and also given us really paints kind of a picture of like I don't know of the region, but yeah, just that access. So like it being kind of this balance of like certain times of year, you're definitely doing a lot of phone interviews because you can't get between places like right now as freeze up is happening on the river. But then maybe in a month we'll be able to like pop down to a village on the ice road and do a story in person. So that kind of pace to the year of stories, but also just like it's just access is not as easy in that same way.
Yeah, absolutely too. That's definitely a huge factor as well. And even too, like you mentioned freeze up when the Kuskokwim River freezes, like you can drive on the ice road to get between villages as well. So that's another unique transportation element of being in Bethel and being off the road system in that particular community. And even your earlier point is how there's so many climate beats as well. Like, you did a really great series on how dog mushing is being impacted by climate change, like how that could potentially influence the sport going forward. Because even back when we were both there together, the K300 dog mushing race, it got delayed. Like, I mean, so many mushing races that season kept getting delayed because the tracks were like too warm and unsafe for the mushers because climate change is making everything so warm. And then there's the series from Muktuvik to Nutak, like talking about that series of like young students who had like to immigrate from. And Muktuvik is the newest one. Was that the one they left from? I always mix it up.
It's the newest one. Yeah,
they moved to Muktuvik from Nutak because Nutak as a region, because like permafrost and other factors is very much like you couldn't live there anymore. And like we're seeing very similar dynamic with Halong right now, which we'll talk a little bit about more later. And then, but I think like those two series especially come to mind. If you have any further comments on either of those, especially the dog mushing series that you did, like please feel free to share more.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so like both of those things. It's also like a lot of like, especially being an outsider, there's kind of this funny feeling of like, you're reporting on something, but it's something like everybody already knows here. But Sage Smiley, the news director here, had said to me, like, a lot of journalism is like, you know, is doing that, but it's like putting things side by side. It's like saying, yes, this is true. We know this is true. Here's how we know it's true. Here are the studies. And so I think with the dog mushing and climate change, it was something that I was interested in, and it really helped me understand the sport and get a picture of climate change in this region specifically. But I also just felt like, I remember before it came out, I was like, I feel like, are people going to be annoyed by this? Like, this isn't new. This isn't breaking news. Like, people know this. People know that they've been breeding dogs with like shorter fur because it's been warmer. People know that the trails have been changing. And the response was really positive because I think people were like kind of happy to see that knowledge, that like more traditional knowledge or also just experiential knowledge, like paired with the science. But also just like to have that to kind of point to and kind of like in talking about it, to kind of have something kind of more concrete or reported out. So that kind of function of journalism, that's definitely like something I've come up against a couple times of like, I'm reporting this and everybody knows it. Or like people know this better than me. People know like, you know, about, you know, fishing and things like that better than me, but this, there still is a utility to news. And again, yeah, with like these relocation stories, like that's a thread that so many villages in the region are facing. And especially now, yeah, with the remnant of Typhoon Halong, like there's just, it's a reality here. And it's something that is like not novel when it is brought up. But outside of this region, it is this like, I just can't imagine if there was like a like towns on the coast of like New England that needed to like relocate to this degree, like how people would kind of be talking about that versus like this region where that is very much the reality and been the reality for like decades. And it's just become the norm and is also kind of left out of this bigger picture of the US.
Absolutely. We touched on this briefly a little earlier, and I'm sure many folks listening want to learn more about it, especially given that we're speaking for Southeast Appreciates News Day. But you visited Sitka very recently for Whale Fest, and so I'm sure people are curious, like, what were your impressions of, you said this was like the first place outside of Bethel and Anchorage that you were able to visit in the state. So tell us more about like your initial impressions of being in the community, and how do you feel, speak a little bit more as to how you would compare and contrast Southeast and the Southwest, that can either be in regards to journalism or just societally, culturally, in general, however you want to do it.
Totally. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you, Sitka, for having me. I loved being there. Your community is so wonderful and it is so beautiful there. I think Ryan was with me for this, but I was like, we were in the library and I saw a seal out the window of the library and I freaked out and I like texted my mom and I was like, I didn't know these two beautiful experiences could like collide. Like you could see a seal and be in a library. And just like Sitka is so beautiful and the connection to marine life, like having it really be like literally out your window was just so amazing. And I loved like, I'm sure I only got a small taste of it, but just the the heartbeat of community there felt very similar to Bethel, and life out here. And I got to go to the Maritime Grind, which was so special. So many amazing performers and so many amazing desserts, and just like this true like kind of coming together. And I also really appreciate it. I know that's an event that happens in the off season with tourism. So that I guess is a big difference, was I hadn't been to a part of Alaska that is really like, you know, tourism plays a huge role in like the cadence of the year and also in influx of money and things like that into the community. And I know that's like probably a very multi-edged sword and being like a year-long resident there. But it was really cool to visit at this time of year, like kind of coming into the off season, I gathered, and just kind of being around folks who are kind of like coming back together and being like, we're the ones who stay, and this is our community. So just kind of that like community sparkliness, I can really feel, and just people who really like are connected to the place that they're living. Like I think there's a lot of places in the U.S., a lot of places in the world where people live somewhere and they're maybe not even really living there. I think Sitka, like Bethel, is very much a place where people are living there. People are in touch with the environment. They're in touch with the community and the culture and the history, pretty daily. And that was I really loved that. I think some differences. I think the tourism, like you can really feel, even though I think, you know, was not there for the huge influx of like cruise ship visitors, but just that it is a place that like welcomes people from the outside and kind of also has to like pitch Alaska to them, is really interesting. I think there's also just definitely like, yeah, they're just very different like economic regions, I think, because of that. And you can definitely feel that a little bit. And also just like I remember talking to people, I was like, do people hunt here? Do people subsist? Do people have snow machines? And just kind of that stuff that really dominates the winter out here is very different in Sitka, even though I know people hunt deer and fishing is huge. So just kind of seeing that the way that those kind of the ecosystem dominates hunting and subsistence, and getting out into nature, is different. And there's more bears in Sitka. I had to carry bear spray while hiking, and in Bethel, they are less of a concern. So that was a little bit different.
For sure. Now, Bethel, you're more likely to get trampled by a moose in terms of wildlife danger than getting hit by a bear.
100%. Yes, which would
For
not be great
sure.
either. But I feel like I'm like, I could take a moose, but not a bear. But that's not right either.